You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
You rose to fame, I think it was in 2010. You collaborated with the likes of Get, Stormzy, yeah. Krypton, Conan.
I'm grateful for all the people I've worked with, but if I did go clear with my music, there wouldn't be an SC Dons. I was like, I want to play football. Let's just make a Sunday league team. All my friends can play.
Yeah.
I said, film the whole game. I remember watching it back and I said, this is cinema. And yeah, it just grew and grew and grew.
I know that your mum was a massive part of SC Dons.
She was at every single game and everything was normal. I just came home one day and then my dad woke me up in the morning. I was like, Angie, I'm serious. She's not waking up. And that was it. There and then gone. Because she was such a presence in SC Dons, we all came together.
Anything for Paula!
And then the club has just continued moving.
Give us an insight as to how big SC Dons are now.
In terms of celebrity followers, we've got loads.
He paid for a ticket to watch SC Dons play.
There's your clickbait. Look, there you go.
There's my title. Yeah. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Inside the Industry Unfiltered with myself, Adam Smith. Delighted to say on the podcast today, a man I know very well. You know him from his music, from SC Dons, from football. A man of many talents. It is my mate, Don Strapsy. Don, how are you?
What's that thing? Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, is that how you refer to yourself?
Yeah. I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me, Smith.
Mate, thank you so much. Once again, you're giving up your time to be here. I know you live on the other side of town, so big love, big respect for coming in. There's a lot to talk about with you, because I'm intrigued to know where your passions lie now, whether it's music or football. Let's take it back to where it started growing up and your passion growing up as a kid, really. What was that about?
As a child, my passion was football.
Yeah.
So probably like most young lads, I wanted to be a footballer when I was older. That was what I wanted to do. I played football. My dad was a coach at Crystal Palace. So I used to take me to all the the half-term camps and the soccer schools.
Oh, class.
So I was a pretty decent player. I played for Cholton up until under 13s. I was in their school of excellence. And then I got released from them and I was just playing in my local Sunday league, etc. But football was my passion. That was my first passion.
Yeah. How tough was that getting when you got released from Charlton? Was it at a stage in your life where you thought you had enough ability to make it?
Yeah, man. I was a good footballer, honestly. I know everyone says that, but I was good.
Yeah. I've seen you play. I know that
I was
play,
a good player. I was a centre forward. Now I play midfield.
Yeah.
But when I was a young...
That happens, isn't it? The older you get,
I go further and further back. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the last cup finals I played for the Dons was 2018 and I was playing RCB.
Yeah,
I'm a centre forward, but now I was at right central defence. But Yeah, I was a decent player. Yeah, you said when I got released. Yeah, I remember being upset. I remember being, oh, man.
So about 13, 14 sort of time.
I was about 13, 14. Yeah. I remember being a bit upset. But I went and played. They sent me to a team called Elms. It was like a local team. So I still felt good about myself. I was playing in my school team every week. But that was the age that I just began to fall out of love with football.
Why?
I think my environment and my friendship circle that I was around,
yeah,
I was more intrigued by other things.
Right.
And none of my friendship circle was actually footballers, or they didn't really play football.
Do you think that made a difference then? Do you think around like pros who only
I think if you might have gone further. I think if my friendship circle was boys that was playing football,
yeah,
then that's the thing you're doing it. Whereas my friends was more interested in going around the yeah. place and whatever. Do you know what I mean? So I wasn't my thing to go and play football. In fact, I was talking about this the other day. It's such a terrible mindset. But that's the mindset I was kind of around. I almost looked at the boys playing football as nerds.
Did you?
You know, literally, that's how stupid
that's all
it is.
They had?
Yeah, it's just like that. That was, they just, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Mm.
That was my friendship circle. So I think I got around to around 14 and I started getting in a bit of trouble. Do you know what I mean? So and playing football wasn't, I just got bored of it. I stopped playing. I remember going to school, I was in year 10 because I played for my school team, year 7, year 8, year 9.
Yeah.
Year 10, when it comes to the trials again for the school team, my teacher was called Mr. Kerr and I didn't go. And he told me, they said, why didn't you come? I said, I'm not playing anymore. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, nah, I'm not playing, man. I didn't even ask Big G. I didn't even play at school time. I used to say to him, why are you playing football for? That's how dumb it was. And guess what? I wanted to play.
Wow.
Weird. It's very weird.
Big G's behind the camera. Obviously, he's been your mate from back in the day, right?
Yeah, I've known him since I was about, I don't know what age that would have been, year 2, whatever that
is. Wow, way back.
Way back, yeah.
Love that he's come down. He's so supportive as well. We're going to get into Jesse Don's the brotherhood shortly.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's an interesting point you make there. Do you think that actually, obviously ability, I'm not talking about the Messi's around as well. They've got an insane ability that's always going to get them there. But do you think actually mindset and mentality for young players is almost as important as ability, given how driven you have to be and how competitive it is?
100%. I think mentality and mindset is everything. It's like that same old saying about hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. So mindset and mindset and mentality for me is everything. Because especially as I've got older in my life, I've managed to get myself into positions and places just from mindset and mentality and get through things and get through setbacks. So
does that come with age though? I think yes and no.
I think with age and experience, you learn more about yourself and you adapt to situations, but also how you've been raised and how my father raised me and certain things, my faith, which kind of molds me into the kind of person that I am. So I think, I think mentality is everything. I know players that are absolutely unbelievable, but their mentality, it will stop them from progressing.
Mm. So when you got released from Charlton, difficult time, and you said that you almost fell out of love with the game, what sort of level were you playing after then? Did you still have a goal to get into non-league, or was that literally,
I like
football, but it's not
really
my career?
Again, it's a young age. I didn't get to experience the whole non-league things. That's men's football. So we're still talking about kids football at the end of the day. And back then, when I was I was at a Charlton School of Excellence. I was there for 2 years. And that's just before the academy. So I used to go and play teams like Crawley, Crystal Palace. We played a few teams which had their same academy teams. We played against them. So I was very, very close. I was inches from kind of getting into the academy setup, which would have then allowed me to get a situation where I can be there until I'm 16 and then get offered a situation. So when I got released from them, I was playing Sunday League for my local, so Elms. Then I went to Long Lane. These are local clubs that people from where I'm from will be familiar with. But it was their A teams. It was the highest teams. But I just don't know what happened, Smithy. I think I just fell out of love with it. I don't know why.
Young age.
I
loved football.
It is a young age. And I think I'm someone that puts a lot of pressure on myself.
Yeah.
Even now, I still do it sometimes. I put a lot of pressure on myself. And I remember being a kid doing the same. So like, I remember when I got released and I would go and play for these teams, if I gave the ball away, I wouldn't be able to get over it. I'm like, I'm playing rubbish.
Really?
So I put a lot of pressure on myself. And maybe that's what it was. I think it was the pressure. Went and played for this team called Long Lane. And the manager was like, she used to scream and shout. And I just started thinking, nah, man. I wanted to play for, I didn't even rate it because I was playing for Charlton a while back. So I didn't even want to play. Who's this guy? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then like I said, my friendship circle was different. None of them played football. None of them was going football training. So when I'm one who's got to go football training on Wednesday and no one else is, I just started thinking, nah, this ain't for me.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's mad, isn't it? Because like, we all get into football. You think your earliest memories as a kid with your loved ones, just kicking the ball back for enjoyment.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like the high you get for a lot of people.
I think
it's like the enjoyment gets taken away.
Yeah, because I think I was now I was playing, instead of just playing for enjoyment, it was for a purpose. It's like, if I play well, I might be able to get into the academy. But then also that what I forgot to mention is that's around the age when I got into music.
Yeah.
Around. So I always feel like I need something to pursue. I need a purpose.
Right.
So where it was all football, then I started kind of getting into music, which was more relative to the lifestyle I was living.
Right.
And I just kind of switched to music.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was always good at football. I just stopped playing.
Really?
Yeah, I just stopped playing. I was quite insecure as well. I was a bit skinny as a kid. So I think I was thinking, oh, man, I don't even want to put on my shorts.
Really? I can't imagine you being insecure.
I know it's weird because I'm far from it now. But I was a bit shy as a kid. So I think maybe that played a part. I'm just trying to search for something. I'm not saying that was it.
Yeah.
I'm just looking back at who I was as a child and thinking, why? Because I've asked myself, why did I really just go off football?
Yeah.
Just like that. Even my dad, he was like, what? Because I was good and football was everything.
And you can't put your finger on it.
I just lost. I can't be bothered.
That's interesting. You mentioned music there as well, which brings me perfectly onto the next section because that follows your lifestyle perfectly.
That's right,
and people know you for music prior to SC Don. So where did your music journey start, would you say?
Yeah, around 14, which would have been year 10.
Yeah.
I literally swapped football for my music.
Wow.
Because like I said, at playtime when G and them lot would be playing football, I'd be with my friend Rodney and the boys that were like just rapping and writing lyrics and thinking we're cool.
Yeah. Literally. Sorry, I just thought of Rodney from Only Fools and Horses there.
I'd love to see that.
Him on a grime
track. That'd be a good link up. He's from Peckham as well, I think.
Yeah, he is.
So that's street credibility already. Yeah, exactly.
A bang, wouldn't it?
What was I saying?
Rodney and Delboy with Don Strazi.
Yeah.
I can see that, mate.
Yeah.
I'll market it for you. So your love for music started at 14 when you fell out of love and you were saying, what happened then?
So I fell out of love of football and then my friend Rodney, who's called Raw One, he's doing really well now as well, actually still in the music game. I was always good at English.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He sent me a beat one time and I think it was Channel U days and I was watching things. And like I said, it was my age and my mindset. I was more, without sounding like an idiot, I just wanted to be like, I was just on the street stuff, Adam, if I'm honest. I just thought that this is where I want to be. I want you lot to know who I am. I want everyone to know me. And I wanted to be with the cool people. You know what I mean? And then where I was from Catford and I was having situations. So I just kind of got sidetracked into that lifestyle.
Did you?
Do you know what I mean? And then, so what happened with that was that's when the music was like a form of everyone was rapping and MCing or whatever it was back then. So I remember you sent me a beat and I wrote to it and I just came and done it in school. I spat my verse, just like we said my verse and it just went off and I loved it.
So just from there, sent you that, you might have never.
Yeah, I always put it down
it.
To him.
Do
because I don't remember really writing lyrics. I just remember him, I can't really pinpoint, I just remember him saying, look, I'm going to make a crew. Like, this, you should spit. Just try write a verse. Yeah. And I did it, and then it just went well, and I found it easy, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I liked the feeling and the reaction when people was like, "Oh, he's sick."
I get that, yeah.
And then that was it. It was the music thing.
And did you know you had a talent for it? Because I used to love a bit of old school garage back in the day.
Yeah.
We used to always nights out, spit a few bars, and I used to enjoy it. I loved that buzz.
Yeah.
But also, being brutally honest, I realised I didn't really have a skill set to it. I was just thinking of.
Do you remember your first bars?
Just thinking of like I'm Smithy, work at B Sky B, maybe Elvis Presley. I'm at Loughborough University. Everything rhymed with the letter T.
Yeah.
As soon as I had to do a different verse, I was like, I'm having a laugh.
I can make someone laugh,
but I'm really not good at it.
But
obviously. Did you quickly realise you had a talent? Thanks for making me spit that.
I'm going to chop that now and throw that in one of my episodes.
You must have realised you had a talent for it.
Yeah, you know what? Without being arrogant, I thought I was good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'd done it and I was like, oh, this is sick.
You can say that because you're
I felt like this is like that. I found that quite easy. Like I can flow. And some people can't even catch the beat. So that's because I used to say to
I know what you mean. It's like people who clap out of time.
Yeah, so they haven't got the rhythm to even catch it. Because I used to say it to G all the time. Like, I don't even feel like it's a talent. I'm just everyone can write lyrics. Like that's how I felt.
Really?
Like it's just normal. I can just like give me a beat, bang, cool. I can write. But it's true. When I start thinking about it, not everyone can. Like you can't catch the beat on time, or you can't deliver your lyrics in a certain way. So I quickly, from the response, realized I'm quite good at this.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I think that's the main thing. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Like,
so. It gave me something. So as opposed to playing my football, I was happy enjoying myself in my room writing lyrics. I could do that. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's fine. So it became music for me and I just started putting out a few things, spitting on certain lyrics, clashing people from different schools and just putting my name up around the area.
Yeah, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like you rose to fame, I think it was in 2010, when you did your first freestyle for SBTV. Mm. Is that fair to say? Was that a big moment for you in your music career?
That's a big moment, because before that, I was getting a name in and around South London.
Yeah.
Because of where I was from, who I was hanging around
locally,
with.
Right?
Locally, yeah. I was locally known. And then the SBTV thing, that put me on a different stratosphere.
Yeah, it's, do you know what's mad, mate? Youngun sat in that exact chair and said, and he's had some monster hits, as you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said the biggest influence in his career was Jamal Edwards, and SBTV changed his life forever. And it's like, it's crazy. You're almost saying exactly the same thing. Jamal, like, give us an insight for the younger people that don't know how big SBTV was at the time and how groundbreaking it was.
Yeah, first and foremost, God rest his soul, Jamal Edwards. He changed a lot of people's lives. He really did, because remember, we're from the era now. If my SBTV came out now, I might be the next bloody Central C and Stormzy, because we're in that era where you're gone straight away, you're clear. So we came from an era where it was, we didn't have nothing like that, you know? So he was the first to kind of do this thing. And like I said to you off camera, I wasn't even going to do it. Like, Jamal was on to me. Like, he was on me for a good 6 months. Like, Donny, come and do this. Like, you're sick. Because he was actually like a fan of mine. Like, he liked my music. Yeah, because like I said, I was doing music by that time anyway, locally, you know? And he obviously heard me somehow. He was from West London, but my name was spreading. It was. And he was like, yeah, come and do it. Honestly, this platform is for you. Like, trust me. And I knew about his platform.
Yeah.
But I was saying to Jamal, I'm not on it, bro. Like, at the time I wasn't living positively. I was caught up in crime or whatever. I didn't want
in a bad way at that point.
I was in a bad way. So I didn't want my face out there like that. I didn't want people to know my face, kind of thing. And I was just thinking, nah, I don't want to be walking around and people recognizing me. I don't want to
really
do that.
Yeah, were they quite tough times then? Was it a dangerous neighborhood you're in, or just
just where I was from, hanging around the circle I was growing up in and amongst problems with people that I had issues with on the streets and stuff. And I just didn't want to be on camera. Again, it's that mindset thing again. Yeah. It started with the football. My mindset back then, with the group I was in, all these rappers are nerds. So I was thinking, I don't want to be on camera being this rapper.
Yeah.
Honestly, and now that I'm older, I can look at all of these things that was going through my head, and I can say it without sounding embarrassed.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to do it. Plus, I knew, like I said, it would put me out there, and there was people I had issues with anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was on me. He's like, trust me, come and do it, come and do it. So a funny story, the first time we done it, that was my second one, yeah?
Right.
The first one got lost. The tapes got lost.
Did he? I never knew that.
The tapes got lost. And it's a funny story because Big G's here. So we had to go and meet Jamal in Oxford Street.
Yeah.
Me and my friend Depps. We done my SBTV, yeah?
Yeah.
That was it. It was done. And he had a malfunction with his tape.
Wow.
Something like that. Because he messaged me the next day and said, Donny, I've messed up. Please, can we reschedule?
So you've done the whole thing.
I've done the whole thing.
It's all ready to go.
Ready to go, yeah.
There's a technical error with
now,
the camera.
Now, the funny thing is, yeah, we done the freestyle. My boy Depps went, because he was from Brixton. Me and G was from Lewisham. So we quickly went to Oxford Street Mad D's.
Yeah.
Jules, do you know what I'm about to say? Yeah, so me and him got into a massive fight.
Oh, did you?
It's the same day, bro, in Oxford Street.
Right.
Yeah, so we got into a massive fight. Big punch up outside outside Oxford Street McDonald's.
That's a busy part of town.
Massive,
as well.
And that's why we laugh about, because I'm like, that fight was going on for like 3-4 minutes and nothing happened.
Right.
It was outnumbered and everything. No one saved us. It was mad. Yeah. So every time there was like one person on me, I knew there was three people on G.
Wow.
Crazy story. But anyway, I just said that I had to get out of the way. So then anyway, so he hit me up saying it's malfunctioned. And that made me even more. I said, nah, not on it. The signs are there. I went there to do that. Then I've got in it had a madness.
Right. So you thought that the stars were against you?
I'm just thinking,
I'm
not doing it.
It's not meant to be.
I'm not doing it. And he's like, Donny, trust me. Anyway, long story short, I did it. Yeah. And my music career took off from there.
Wow. Do you know what's amazing about that? The first bit of that story is that you were saying Jamal Edwards was on you. And I think that's testament. It's so sad what happens to him, as you quite rightly said at the start of that. It's tragic what happened.
Mm.
But he was on you to help pursue your career. And no disrespect to you at the time, but no one knew who you were outside of the local areas,
which is what you said. Yeah, yeah.
And he's got this massive platform, but he still was the one pushing you.
Of course.
Because he saw the talent. But not everyone would do that in his position, would they?
No, of course not. And that's what I mean. He put on, I think a lot of people will say how influential he was for them. Ed Sheeran being one. Do you know what I mean?
That's mad, isn't it?
Ed Sheeran, Young and said it. Everyone crept Conan. Mm. Now, I'm not downplaying what everyone else was doing because we was all working. Mm. Like, we was all putting stuff out and building ourselves.
Yeah.
But he did, his platform at the time was the number one platform. That's facts. You know what I mean? So if he put you on his platform, it's going to propel whatever you are by to the whole of the UK. Yeah.
How much of a pioneer was he, do you think? Like you mentioned massive. Ed Sheeran there. He's one of the biggest artists in the world.
Yeah. And again, like I said, I'm not saying it's all because of Jamal, but he's played a massive part in that.
Mm.
And I'm sure Ed will tell you that.
Yeah.
Everyone will tell you that.
How did you react when you heard the news personally? Because I remember just being so shocked. And
yeah, I was shocked.
It was so sad as well, but it was such a sad moment for the music industry, but more importantly, for his friends and family, because it was so sort of out of the blue, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was sudden, wasn't it? I was shocked. I remember, I think I'd seen him a few months before that. We saw him at, I went to a New Year's party. Mm. It's a New Year's party. I know I keep referring to G because he's off camera, but I went somewhere with Big G and JR when we had them Wagwans, George. And he was at there. He was at the DJ. He was a DJ there. And I'm pretty sure that was only a couple months before.
Wow.
And he was in good spirits. He was all good. Like, I love what the Dons are doing, Donny. Do you know what I mean? He knew what I was doing, Bessie Dons. Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, man. Shame, man. Like I said, rest in peace.
Well said. And how did your life change after that then? So you've done your freestyle on SBTV. I saw it again last night. And you look young in that, mate.
Like, I know, man.
You do.
I know.
How did your life change?
Cameras all blurring up in my face. Oh, man.
Baby face. How did your life change after that?
Well, my life didn't change because I was still out here getting caught up in madnesses. But what it done is it gave me different opportunities.
Did it?
Big opportunities.
Straight away. Wow.
Straight away. Because my favourite artist at the time was a guy called Fix Dotem. And I remember him hitting me up. Like, Donnie Ferguson, because one of my bars was about Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
He's like, let's get
you reference football a lot in your
I've
music.
I've always had. Like I said, football was all I knew. I didn't watch TV. I still don't watch TV. I don't really know much about all the nonsense that goes on these days. I just like football. So even that's why with my lyrics, I couldn't tell you about Love Island. I couldn't tell you about anything. I don't watch nothing.
Wow.
Unless I got a girlfriend. Because when I had a girl, she would always watch TV. So I'd watch it just for the sake of trying to get some quality time.
Yeah.
But other than that, football was all I knew. So I didn't know what other content to speak about.
Mm.
But like I said, that came out. Fix.com hit me up. Just loads of people, all the local artists that I've looked up to wanting to reach out and do things, and my artists from outside London, supporters. I saw my following go up on Facebook, I think it was at the time, just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I was just like, what is going on here?
Did it surprise you how quickly it happened?
It did. It was crazy. Oh yeah, you know what? And then my manager at the time, Remedy, big up Remedy, he was like another local legend. He had Essentials and them lot. He obviously saw the SBTV. And he hit me up because I was friends of his cousin anyway, his little cousin. He's from Deptford, so I used to go around there. But he hit me up, he's like, Donny, come, we need to talk. And then he started managing me. So yeah, it did, that's what I mean. And I was just a kid from the streets. I just rapped a little bit. Then he came with a little bit of structure. I said, right, we're going to do a mixtape, we're going to do this. Introduced me to Da Vinci, who was a big producer. So my point I'm trying to explain is it just propelled me. And loads of opportunities started coming my way, and I've worked with everyone. Any artist you can think of, I've worked with.
Where did the name Don Strapsy come from? Because what's your real name?
Andrew.
So where did Don Strapsy come from?
If I'm honest, I just wanted a gangster name, man. So Strapsy, I said, yeah, that sounds like a strong name.
So it's just you didn't want Andrew, you just wanted
back in the day, when people used to ask me that, I used to be like, oh yeah, I sold watch straps. Yeah, but the truth is, I just thought of the name Strapsy, I thought it was good. And then I just put Don in front of it. Because back then you had like Lethal Bizzle. Yeah, everyone had a name. Yeah. It was like double barrel names.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
And I just put Don in the front of it, and that was it, Don Strapsy.
Yeah. And you mentioned names there. You collaborated with the likes of Getz, Stormzy, Krypton, Conan. What were those moments like? I don't want to be disrespectful because obviously you've got a talent and you probably thought you deserved that, but were there moments where you're collaborating thinking, everything's going right for me. This is better than I could have even dreamed of.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been one to idolize anyone, you know, honestly. So I'm pretty, I don't ever get starstruck or anything. But Getz was someone I grew up listening to.
Yeah.
So when I had the tune of Getz, I was just thinking, well, like, I'm a fan of this guy.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So like, and for me, Getz was the coldest, you know what I mean? So I was really happy to do that with Getz. Giggs for me was someone as well. Yeah. Giggs was a legend, is a legend, but he's from kind of around the corner from where I'm from. And he was like the godfather of UK rap. So when Rem Rammy said, I just bumped into Giggs in Morrison's, he's like, yeah, man, bring Donny to the studio. Because they don't remember, I'm from Lewisham, Southeast London. And I was in a circle where everyone knows each other. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like I was just a random kid that makes music. People knew who I was. So when he, like, doing something with Giggs was massive. Captain Cohen and everyone, like, I'm grateful for all the people I've worked with, because and I've seen them all go on to do massive things.
Yeah, Stormzy, like Stormzy being one, right?
Do you know what I mean? Me and Stormzy and Weezy, no Joel Bayer.
Yeah.
Weezy is who he used to be called, Weezy. Yeah, don't let him get away from that. He's not always been this well-spoken guy that he tries to pretend he is, yeah? So me, Weezy and Stormzy done a tune called Bad Guy.
Yeah.
Outside Lewisham. And like I said, look what Joel's doing. Look what Stormzy's doing. Look what I've managed to be able to do. Yeah. So I say to George all the time, G, Big G, and sometimes I felt like I didn't achieve what I wanted to achieve in music, because
really,
I've worked with everybody, but I never got my top 10 hit or sold out arena or anything.
Is that a regret for you or not?
You know what? It's not. And the reason why I say it's not is because if I did go clear with my music, there wouldn't be an SE Dons. You know, because I was working with someone at the time. I got big up Vash, and he was wanting to do certain things with me. But
in the music space.
In the music space. Yeah. And he was managing Chipmunk at the time.
Wow. Massive at the time.
Massive at the time. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure Vash and Billy Wood as well, who's actually a chairman in football now.
Yeah.
Someone you should probably chat to, yeah. But
yeah,
them guys had a plan for me. But I was so loyal to my guy Rem, because that's someone I knew away from music. So I didn't, because they wanted to manage me and take me in their direction. So I stuck with Rem. And we still done great things.
Yeah.
But I felt like them guys was locked into the industry. So they could have taken me. Vash then, I think he was managing Krypton Conan.
Wow.
So I probably could have gone a bit further.
Yeah.
But like I said, if that happened, there wouldn't be an SE Dons.
Mad, Nick, because you've got two real passions in life.
That's my point.
Music. So, and it sounds like you don't regret it, because SE Dons has gone on for great things.
I really don't. I think if I didn't do anything with SE Dons, and I just became not a normal guy. There's nothing wrong with that. If I just went and got a random job or something, I might be thinking, man, I won a mixtape of the year award. I was doing this. What did I? Yeah. Why did I let that go? Whereas now, everywhere I go, like I was with Stormzy the other day, and he's like, bro, pioneers. SE Dons, pioneers. You got Dave, people like Santa and Dave. Everyone loves the Dons.
What Stormzy says about Dons?
Yeah, he's like, pioneers, man. Pioneers. That's even amazing. Dave, like they all know it. And it's not, it's just respect.
Yeah.
I think it's just respect, because, and like I said, so I don't regret.
Yeah.
Because my music is why a lot of people tuned into SE Dons in the first place beginning, because people probably wanted to see Don Stratzy play football. So I've managed to make it work.
Yeah.
And so I can still do music if I want. And sorry to keep cutting you there. If I was to put out music now, that's the beauty of it. I wouldn't be putting it out thinking I need to get a top 10 or I need this to get a million views. I'm just putting it out there because I have an audience that's still open to listen to my music. And if I'm honest, I'm a businessman. So for me, it benefits SE Dons. If I'm putting out some music, it might bring some more eyes to SE Dons, and that's it. So
that's interesting the way you look at that.
Yeah,
that's
interesting. Yeah.
So you don't regret it, but do you feel like you have unfinished business?
Yeah, I do, in the music world. I do, Adam. I have said to a few of the boys, I really want to put on one more headline show.
Yeah.
And I'm going to work on that. I was thinking of working on something. It's just the time. It's very hard. I'm very, very busy. So to be able to get into studio and lock in and zone out and give it my best work, it requires a lot of creative edge.
Yeah.
And I've not been able to give it that time because I've got so much going on and my mind is all over the place.
Yeah.
But I'm not done. I would like to put out one more project.
Would you?
And maybe do a show, a headline show, and then see if I call it quits from there, I can call it quits. But I don't really have to put that pressure on myself because I'm not. It's not. If I came out and said Don Shatsy's retired from music, people think he's not making music all the time, innit? You're announcing that for.
Yeah, I get
so
that.
I'm kind of got the fortune to be able to just, if I want to put something out, I can.
Yeah.
Is
it harder now? Because forgive me, I don't know the music industry like I know football. I work in football. I'm a football nut. I watch football religiously.
Yeah.
I'm around football all the time.
Yeah.
I listen to music, but I'm not in that industry. I don't know how artist management, gigs, all the writing works. And it sounds like there's a lot of elements that go into that and a lot of people that have to be fighting the same page for you to be successful. Is it harder now that you haven't released music in a while to do that passion project? Or with the contacts you've got, do you think that's quite easy for you?
It's a good question. I think yes and no. I think, like you said, I've got a lot of contacts now as well. And I've managed to build relationships with people just authentically, just being myself. So I think people, if you meet me, they quite like me anyway. So it's like, if I was to hit someone, if I was to hit you up and say, look, Smith, I've got a show, come through, I'm sure you'd be there. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I think I know a lot more people. So that in that respect, yes, I think it would help. I've got the SC Dons community that even if I put out a song, which is probably rubbish, I'm pretty sure a lot of them would get behind it. Do you know what I mean? So I've got
G will be there, won't he? He's with you everywhere. Loyal mate. I've got...
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
He just said off camera, he's not letting you retire.
But then sometimes I feel like it's more a young man's sport as well. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, that's why I'm not so desperate to kind of start making consistent music. Mm. But there is a part of me, because everywhere I go, everyone always says to me, when's the music? When's the music? To this day, do you know what I mean? So it's like, that shows me people are still open to listening to some stuff. But once I get SC Dons where I'm trying to get SC Dons to, I'll be able to have a lot more free time to focus on my music.
I love that. How talented is someone like Stormzy? Because you've known him from back in the day, you collaborated with him. He's massive now. Can you give me an insight into his talent, but also his mentality? Because is that a reason? Does that apply to the music industry as well? You've got to have that drive.
Of course, because you've got to, you know, you're constantly finding new ideas. You've got to be creative. You've got to write new lyrics. So it's dedication. And Stormzy's always been sick, you know what I mean?
Has he? From day one?
Yeah, he's always been good. Like from the first tune I done with him, I was like, yeah, this guy's good, man.
Yeah.
He's good. So, and he's just stuck to it. He's stuck at it. And he's gone on to achieve what he deservedly has achieved.
You know what I mean? It's amazing that. You had a name change as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, why did you, from Don Strapsy?
Yeah, so Don Strapsy. I was Don Strapsy.
Drew Blue.
And like I said, like, from my before I got into music, the lifestyle I was living caught up with my music.
Right.
So what was happening was, I was getting booked for shows and the police and Trident was cancelling the shows and knocking off the shows, which was preventing me from getting bookings, et cetera, because they were putting it down to gang violence and all this kind of stuff, which half the time wasn't even true.
Right.
It's just that I came with a crowd, which certain things would happen and it's reflected bad on me. So when I was going to go and work with Vash and Billy Wood, who I just spoke to you about, who wanted to work with me, they told me, listen, I don't need to lie. They said to me, and they can confirm that we'll probably be able to get you about 10 to 15 shows a month at about £150 a show. That's our plan to start with. So I'd done the maths at the time, which 150 times 10, that's 1500. And I thought, basically over £2,000. Yeah. I was thinking, what? Over £2,000 just for doing some shows, let alone whatever else I'm doing. I said, yeah, I'm down. And they was like, but the name is a problem because they're in the industry and your name's been blackballed, basically.
So to change it.
Your name's blackballed. So anytime you're performing, done, the police are alerted and all this kind of stuff. So we need to change the name to something a bit more friendly and that. And they came up with the name Drew Blue. Drew, because my name's Andrew, Drew. And I'm from Lewisham, which is also known as Blueborough. So Drew Blue.
Right.
Yeah. Blue Bins and Blue Road, everything. That's Lewisham is Blue Bar. Greenwich is Green Bar.
Yeah. So, is that what you work with to Lewisham? It's Blue, that's why.
Yeah, it's Blue, Didn't know that. That's how we call it, the Blue.
Yeah.
So Drew Blue was where the name came from. And I hated it. I said, this sounds like a bloody Teletubby. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't go from Don Strapsy.
Tinky Winky Dixie.
I can't go from Don Strapsy to Drew Blue. However, at the time,
there could have been a market in that, mate. Don Strapsy and Teletubbies.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a lot of side projects going on there, mate.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So at the time, I listened to their advice.
Yeah.
I kept the name Don Strapsy, but I made it Don Strapsy, aka Drew Blue.
Right.
So that was where the name change came. And then I tried to run with that, but it didn't sit right with me, man. So I was Drew Blue for a while. And I didn't feel like it benefited me at all.
Yeah, fair enough.
I feel like it even pushed me backwards. People were like, what's going on? How are you going to change your name to Drew Blue?
Teletubby.
Do you know what I mean?
Mate, maybe that's your next project.
Yeah, Donny Tubbies. Imagine that.
Kids theme tunes, mate. Yeah, like Peppa Pig. They love a fortune, mate. Yeah, trademark that. I didn't think, mate, of all the things we mentioned, Teletubbies
will come out.
I couldn't think of it.
That should be in the caption. Don Strapsy Teletubbies.
We'll move on to SC Dons now, because prior to even me bringing it up, you've mentioned SC Dons in about 3 or 4 of your answers. I know, knowing you well, how passionate you are about that. And you've even said you don't have any regrets ending music, because that's the passion you had about it. So how did it all come about, and how did you start, and where did that passion for SC Dons come from?
Yeah, so SC Dons was formed, I've got it on there, 2014 on the badge. It was formed in 2014 with me, my dad, who we call Mr. Old School, and Ryan Palmer, who's my sister's husband. Basically, Ryan Palmer, he's sick at football. He plays non-league, whatever. But like I said, I stopped playing football completely. And to be fair to him, he was always on me, Andrew, come play football. Like, I can bring you to my team, come and train with my team, whatever. And I just weren't, I was so against it. I said, I'm not giving up my Saturdays and Tuesdays and all that. I'm not on it. I don't love it like that. Do you know what I mean? I said, but he was like, well, let's just make a Sunday league team. Because Sunday league, all the boys can play, all my friends can play.
Yeah.
And Ryan will play. And Ryan's our golden egg. Because when I first started, that was real proper low level Sunday league, muddy pitch and just
proper,
cigarettes at half time,
putting the nets up, all of that stuff. Shoulder,
sometimes your first touch of the ball is in the game. You know what I mean?
I did what you mean.
Literally.
Yeah.
So
the warm ups just hammering balls at the keeper.
The warm up, we just pull up just to get there on time. The game kicks off at 10:30, you get there by 10:20.
I love
get your kit on and we'll play.
Great times.
So we started the Sunday league team because I was like, I want to play football, but I'm not doing this Saturday stuff. We was like, let's make our own team. We started SC Dons, rang all our friends, gathered up a team.
And it was, just to clarify, it was just your mates, right?
Just my mates.
You're not picking randoms or trials at that point.
No trials.
It is literally a Sunday league team with your mates.
Sunday league team with our mates. We got the team together. We had our first training session and 6 people turned up.
Wow.
Yeah. We gathered about 18 to 20 of us. Put in the group, yes, boys, this is it. We're taking this serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Training, Mottingham. Saturday morning, we're going to train. Or whatever day it was. Yeah, but about six people turned up and said, all right, cool, forget training, it's not going to work. Game on Sundays. We'll just stick to playing on Sundays. So yeah, that's what started SC Dons 2014. Yeah. Just to play with my friends.
So normal like nothing, Sunday I played in, normal Sunday league team.
Normal. Our way of staying together. Everyone's growing up, everyone's getting kids or whatever. We get to meet each other in a positive environment. Like I said, I come from my circle of friends comes from a pretty negative lifestyle. So for us, this is a positive space to be around each other and go to war. Because remember, when you're growing up the way we grew up, and some people find themselves within gangs or whatever, it's because you have it's a feeling of a community that you're with these people for something. As dumb as it is, as a postcode, this is our postcode. This is where we're from. This is my team. It's the same mentality.
And how important is sport? Actually, that's a good message. A lot of people say. Boxers say actually boxing helps people get off the streets or away from crime. Do you find football helped you and helped a lot of people actually give you a purpose and get away from the stuff that can get you in trouble?
Of course, because you find yourself, especially with the Dons at the beginning as well, we was finding ourselves so excited for the Sunday. We're looking forward. Yeah. Like Sunday, we're playing.
I know what you mean by that.
We're playing Peckham, for us, we're from Lewisham and Greenwich. We need to smoke these lot. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then we're talking about it in the group and, Lamb scored this or Drop scored that. You done this, Ryan Palmer cut in. All of a sudden, we're all talking about something which is positive. So for us, it was massive. Anyway, that's why we started SC Dons. But there was no intention to do what we're doing with it now.
Really?
Nothing at all. Just playing football. That was 2014. So at that time, I'm still doing my music. So I'm doing my music. We started filming SC Dons in 2017, so 3 years later.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So you had 3 years of just being a...
Just Sunday league.
The interesting thing about your timeline is that's only 10 years after your music career started.
Yeah, exactly.
So 4 years after that, you're doing SC Dons. And then 3 years after that, you finish music and you start to film it, are you going to say?
Well, my music career started in 2005, 2006.
Yeah, prior to SBTV.
Prior to SB.
Yeah, got you.
So I was still doing my thing, but... And remember, I was known locally. So that's giving me... So 2014, I've done a good nine years I'm from. So 2014, I'm still doing my music. Our first season, the club, we got kicked out of our league.
Did you?
So we didn't finish it. We got kicked out. Second year, we wasn't going to redo it because it was long. We owed fines. We owed all this registration money. But then we found a guy who said he will fund it. We bumped him, man. I feel bad. Yeah, he got bumped.
Right.
Basically, he said he will fund it. Basically, so any yellow cards, any red cards, he will pay for it.
Wow.
As long as we call ourselves the name of his pub.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was SC Dons, but we called ourselves RBG, which is Royal Bar of Greenwich.
Okay.
So it was SC Dons RBG.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just at the and he would pay for all our fans.
Right, because he's promo for his pub.
Promo for his pub.
It's like sponsoring a shirt.
To be fair, it was a decent agreement, but he got bumped because I'm telling you, boys were getting sent off left, right, and centre.
Yeah.
He was doing all the secretary work. We wasn't paying if I'm honest, we took the mick.
Yeah.
So second year was a bit rubbish as well.
Yeah.
Third year was the big, was 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. We got a year in, done it. Fine, all good. All right, so then now we start to film. Now, the reason we started to film...
Yeah, I want to ask that.
...is because I was doing my music, yeah?
Yeah.
And this was a time when Instagram came out.
Right.
I'm not sure if it was Snapchat, probably Instagram.
But the social media
boom. The social media thing was starting to... It wasn't just Twitter. When I was doing it with SB days, it was just Twitter, from what I remember.
Yeah.
And Facebook. Yeah. And by 2017, I wasn't even on Facebook. I don't even... Whatever. Yeah. So it was just Twitter. So yeah, Instagram's come out. They had all these other things. I don't know what they were called. There was a few things. But I was like, I need to engage with my audience because I'm seeing everyone do it.
Mm.
And my music is pretty street music, pretty aggressive, just talking about street stuff. But I'm thinking people don't actually know me because around my friendship circle, I got a lot of banter. I'm just a normal guy.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, how can I engage with them? So what I started doing is my boy Chris started, he films our games.
Yeah.
Even now, so
I met him, recently.
Yeah, he started filming the weird guy, he keeps doing moving like this and awkward character.
Nice dad, though. Thanks, Chris, for your
work. He loves the club, So,
shout out, Chris.
He started filming some of my videos, and then he started filming my studio sessions,
right?
So, I'm thinking, all right, cool, we need to interact with my let me start a YouTube channel, So, I started filming my studio sessions, and then I just said to him, bro, you know what? I got a football team because I watched Palmer's.
Right.
You know, S. Smith.
Yeah, so Palmer's was inspiration.
Yeah, so because I had the team. It wasn't why I started SC Dons because I already had it. But when I was on YouTube, when YouTube started coming out, I'm like you, I love football.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm weird. I like Sunday League football.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I was, instead of me, because I can watch the Premiership if I want when Man United are playing, I support Man United. I'm not going to watch any other club.
Yeah.
But I would type on YouTube Sunday League tackles or Sunday League
and
football.
Smith was one of the first.
So
to do
I saw
that.
Palmer's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I watched it. I didn't used to watch all of his episodes, but I just thought, oh, this is sick. I said, because I've got a team. Mm. So that's what I thought, hold on. These men are filming their games. I said, oh, why don't I film my games? Because our one, there's always something mad going on. There's a ref getting slapped.
So that was the inspiration, Palmer's episode,
because it was like, it was an inspiration because I guess I might not have thought about it, you know? So I was like, yeah, cool. I said, look, I sent it to Chris. I said, look at these lot. They actually film their games. I said, I've got a team, you know? I was like, come and film the game. I said, because but again, it was more for me because I was trying to vlog what I'm doing. So it was more so vlog me going to my game.
Yeah, right. Got you.
So come to
you're
me.
Filming you in the studio. It's almost like a day in the life with
now,
Dom.
That's exactly what it was.
Game.
It's exactly what it was. So we done my studio session in a week. I'm like, come film. We'll go football Sunday. Come film me, whatever. So he came to film me and then I introduced or whatever. And then I said, film the whole game. So he filmed it. And then I just thought, bruv, I said, this is sick. This is sick, you know? I said, it was some mad stuff going on. I think my first episode, my friend Sil headbutted one of their players and got sent off.
Right.
And then at the end, he said, you know, every team needs a hard nut. So that's why the name of the episode was SC Dons, Everyone Needs a Hard Nut.
Right.
And it's just gone off since then. But like, I remember watching it back and I said, this is cinema.
You got
like,
a buzz from it, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this is unbelievable. It's hilarious. Yeah, I said, like, I'm actually realizing.
Because it's real, that's
it's
the
just
thing.
Real.
Yeah.
And remember, this is when no one was even comfortable on camera.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like anyone was acting up. So yeah, I'd done that. And then I just quickly realized, I said, Chris, I ain't going to lie, this is bigger than me, you know? I said, this film.
Did you say that after the first episode?
Yeah, after the first one. I said, this ain't about me, bro. I said, look, I'm the face of it, no problem. I said, but this group of friendships, that the group of friends I have, you can't write it like the way they are and the characters we have, which is why they're still here to this day.
Yeah.
Even though they're not even playing anymore, because you don't meet people like that in real life. And that's just how we are. We've got so much bags of charisma within my circle of friends, because what I lead back to telling you is that we wasn't footballers.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is because we wasn't that good at football, we had so much character and personality to kind of make us stand out, because the boys that were sick of football, they don't talk, they ain't got no bloody personality. They're just sick. You know what I mean? Like they do their talking with their feet.
And also, I don't mean an elite club or people that have been put together.
Yeah,
because they're
you know
good
what I mean?
At football. You've been put together because your mates that happen to play football.
Exactly. And we're just funny because, like I said, we're not really footballers like that. Mm. And we just, whatever. We just want to win and we're going to win any means necessary.
Yeah.
We'll shout, put you off, whatever. We're on all of that dark arts.
Yeah.
So, after that the first one and then a couple more, I said, nah, man. I said, we've got something here. SC Dons. Let's film SC Dons.
Did you from that one? Do you know what? Interesting. Robbie said something very similar. He wanted to first go to an Arsenal game and do Vox Pops, film with the fans to hear the fans' voice.
Yeah.
And he did it for a passion because he loves Arsenal.
Yeah.
It wasn't until he did the first one he went, I've really got a buzz of this. I think there's a market for this. let's do away games and then let's do every game. And you've almost mirrored what he said.
Yeah.
Different, but he's going to a Prem game, but you're starting a team. But the same buzz that he had, you've said you had after the first one.
100%.
And you wanted to do every game from that moment on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then we filmed every one. And like I say it all the time, I say we haven't missed a Sunday now since 2017.
Not a single game?
Not one. There's always an upload on a Sunday.
Mm.
So of course, Sunday league football, sometimes game gets waterlogged.
Yeah.
But there was always an upload on a Sunday. We never miss a Sunday.
Wow.
And we've just stuck with it, consistency. And yeah, it just grew and grew and grew. And as I said, initially, starting off from people thinking, oh, what, Don Straps, he's got a football team. Let me go see that. So then them watching it and buying into the characters. Mm. And oh, well, he's sick, he's a character, oh, yeah. I like this guy. And then all of a sudden, after a while, oh, why is he not here anymore? Oh, why is he not playing? Mm. They're engaging now, do you know what I mean? And then they start coming to games and that was it.
Mad. So did you know that what it would become, or was it more a passion project at the time? Because the fact that you're prioritising this over your music shows how much of a passion you've got for it. But did you know that early on that this was going to be your future, or did you just enjoy filming the game?
Honestly, and this is why I think SC Don stand out more than anyone else who films football content as a Sunday league side, is because my genuine answer to that is no. I didn't know that it would become this. Mm. I didn't even think about it. I didn't even look at it as there's a market. I didn't look at it as a business plan. Nothing whatsoever. Mm. It was literally film the game, edit, put it out. This is jokes.
Mm.
I didn't think anything of it. Nothing whatsoever. So I wouldn't even say it was a passion project because it was, you could potentially say that, but it's just something I did. I play football on a Sunday, film it, Chris, and put it out on the channel. And that was it. And then, but I always think so big, which is why if you told me back then that it would become this, I wouldn't be shocked. I swear down, I wouldn't. I'll just be thinking, wow, that's amazing. Like, this is great. Like, I'm so happy. But I wouldn't be shocked thinking, no way. You know what I mean? Really? Or if you told me the club that you made, you're going to play in a game and they're going to have Joe Cole playing and Jack Wilshere and Smitty. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I just to reiterate, I did blag my way, I don't know how, into a Premier League All-Stars.
We
played against SC Dons. And what was amazing about that is, like, we had Sandro, Huddleston, Wilshere, Troy Deeney, Joe Cole. But there was so many fans in SC Dons shirts because we played against SC Dons. That were there as well, like equal amounts to fans in Arsenal and Tottenham shirts, which goes to show how the legacy you've created is incredible.
And I think like I said, Smith, there, I think everyone's bought into it because of the authenticity. I think it's very clear and apparent on camera that we're just a group of lads that was trying to do something, where you've got teams that have tried to emulate what we've done and they've fallen off because they, like you said, they do trials or they do this, they bring this person in, let's have the camera like this, let's set up like that. You can't. We've never done that. We've literally just turned, Chris is my mate, he's got the camera. George is my best friend, he's the goalkeeper. George isn't anyone different to what he, by George I mean Big G, he's anyone different to what he is on camera. So when you see him doing a madness on Soccer AM, he's been doing that on Sunday mornings.
I have seen him.
He's
do
been
that.
Doing it before we even had a camera.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I played in charity games in my
But that's my point, and this is who he is.
Yeah, I get that.
That's what I was trying to explain by you can't write it. So my boy drops, doesn't play anymore, but he's a character, Big Doug, who's now got his podcast with Pounds. These guys are just how they are. Mad B with the patch.
He's got
patch ain't for show. He lost his eye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, this is my circle of friends.
Yeah.
And I think that people have bought into it because we're real. But real is like a cringy word, but we're just honest with our audience. And that's it. We are who we are.
You mentioned there about how you think you've got one of the biggest communities for Sunday League. And you mentioned about how a lot of other people do it and then they disappear. I want to draw comparisons between you and Hashtag United, because that's another... I mean, what Spencer's built there is unbelievable, incredible. And what you've built with SC Dons is incredible. How do you draw comparisons between SC Dons and Hashtag United? Are there similarities, a lot of differences? How do you sort of compare the two?
There's a lot of similarities, also a lot of differences, but I think there's a lot of similarities in terms of we both play under the same pressure of we film content.
Yeah.
So teams can watch our, if teams that are playing against us can watch us and get to know us and a real insight of us before playing us. We also have that pressure of players that come to play for SC Dons and Hashtag, you're going to be open to criticism, your YouTube comments, all of that kind of stuff. We're both two clubs that are out there in a space where it's not actually so welcomed. Do you know what I mean? So I think that especially the non-league scene, which Spence will be able to probably have experienced more than SC Dons have at the moment, but we experience it in a weird way because a lot of our players play non-league. They're not so forthcoming of these YouTube teams and all that kind of stuff. So I think we both have the same kind of pressures. Mm. But then his difference is because we're also a Sunday league grassroots football club.
Yeah.
Whereas Hashtag was started, I think, with more like influencers. And they done their, I think he used to play, he created like a FIFA type league because he was he done his FIFA gaming.
Yeah.
And he created a football club, which is great, it's creative. Mm. But I think there's two, that's the difference as well. So our journey was Sunday league football. Theirs was like this idea and concept that he created.
Mm.
But what he's done amazingly is transition into non-league football.
Yeah, incredible.
It's mad. And he's now playing there in the Ryman Prem. Isthmian Prem.
Yeah.
Which is no joke of a league.
Sports team,
women's team. And we sat down with him on his podcast. And I think what they've done is incredible. He's a great guy. And I'd love one day SC Dons to play Hashtag. And I'm sure
they've never played, have they?
We haven't, nah. We haven't played. But I think, again, it's also out of respect to me. I respect their space.
Yeah.
And I think he respects our space as well. Yeah. And I think we both know that now is probably not the right time to play.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
I think there was a time a couple of years ago where it was like, hey, let's get this game on.
Yeah, there's a lot of love from the YouTube community about wanting to see
Everyone still wants to see it. I think that's the biggest game that there is. I don't think there's any bigger game than that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And it will come. It will come. But I think we're at a point where they're playing Saturday League football.
Mm.
You know, so when are we going to play the game? What, on a Sunday or on a Saturday?
Yeah.
Our boys play on Saturday as well. So
yeah, true.
How's it going to work?
Logistics,
and it's such
where is it
and I think
be?
It's such a big game for it to be just played as a random friendly. I think there has to be something competitive on the line.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to see that. I think you sum up worse, but I think Spence is a genius person.
Yeah,
what he's created and his knowledge of the space is amazing. And I think everyone's got mutual respect for what you've both done.
Yeah.
Well, how do you think, in terms of, I'm not going to say who's sort of bigger and better because you both put it, but where is your community sort of stronger than his, and where's his community stronger than yours? Because there are differences, aren't there?
Of course, yeah. I think he might agree as well. But then again, I know that they've now got loads of young youth teams and kids, so they're definitely building their community,
the academy and
stuff. So they've begun that process, which will build. But I think I'd say, and I think he'd agree, that we're a bigger community based club.
Okay.
I think that's just because of who we are within our communities, and with Sunday League football, the authenticity of it, we've managed to really engage everyone in to feel part of the family, and we've managed to just build a massive community.
In terms of the area that you're from.
In terms of the area that we're from. So with Hashtag, and something that he highlighted is that the name Hashtag, which is great and stands out, it's not actually a location.
Right.
So we're from Southeast London.
Mm.
So if you're from Southeast London, you should support SC Dons.
Right, got you.
We can expand that. If you're from London, we should be your club. Do you know what I mean? If you're from the South, you should support us. We kind of play on it. We won the Kent Cup. We were saying we're the best club in Deep Kent because Southeast is on the border of Kent.
Yeah.
So we've got a location which allows, I think, for people that are from the area to feel connected to it.
Yeah.
But we've managed to reach out beyond that.
Yeah.
You know, we've got supporters from all over the UK, all over the world, literally. Mm. So I think community-based, I feel like we've got a bigger community feel.
You've got a bigger community than Hashtag, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
But I would say that they've got a much bigger online base at the moment.
Presence, yeah.
Online presence. They're doing massive things.
Mm.
And it's all things we take inspiration from. We're not trying to compete with them.
Yeah.
But like we're doing our thing. We're very different sides in terms of we're not PG at all.
Yeah.
Whereas I know they're a bit more PG than we are.
Yeah.
They have to be, obviously, in terms of where they are. Mm. But yeah, I think there is lots of comparisons, but also a lot of we're both trying to be everyone's second team.
Yeah, interesting.
Sort of.
I know what you mean by that, because I've played in games with you, and it's like, go back to the Premier League All-Stars vs. Dons, there were thousands of people there, and obviously there's a big percentage of people there to watch Joe Cole, and
of course,
stupid enough to think that he's what a player he is still,
by
the way. But there were so many people, I keep going back to, in SC Dons shirts, and all of your crews there and your teammates, and there's a real family filter.
100%.
And how many fans, you've had up to 3,000-4,000 fans that come watch your game,
it's been crazy.
Which is incredible, whereas I know that Hashtag have got that probably unrivaled, it's fair to say, fan base online, and obviously they're actually in the football pyramid. So it's fascinating that you've obviously both started it probably exactly the same, football with your mates, and you filmed it on YouTube, but actually you've taken very different paths in albeit both successful ways.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think it's like you said, the beauty of it is of being everyone's sort of quote unquote second team is that you could, as you said, you saw the kids there wearing their SC Dons shirts.
Yeah.
But they might be Man United fans as well.
Of course.
But there's no, for example, if I'm a Man United fan, I can't walk around with a Chelsea shirt or a Tottenham shirt or this or that. But as a SC Dons, you could support Tottenham as you do and still wear your SC Don shirt, no one's going to think, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean? So, it is mad. I think what he's done is incredible and I'm sure we'll bump heads eventually. And I think when we do so, I think it will be absolutely massive.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Go on, give us some of the highlights of where you are now then. Give us an insight into, we mentioned the number of fans that come down, the places SC Don's has taken you, the celebrities that come and to watch your games. Give us an insight of to how big SC Don's are now.
Yeah, well, look, we're up to 238,000 subscribers now.
Yeah.
We've been to numerous cup finals and we've done 3,500.
That's fans at the game, right?
At the game.
Yeah.
Physically at the game, yeah. We've done that on about 4 or 5 occasions. We, in terms of celebrity followers, we've got loads. Like Jude Bellingham's one. We've got Declan Rice, he's actually come to...
He's been to a game, hasn't he?
Been to games.
Yeah.
He's been to games. And what an incredible supporter he is, because he pulled up and they gave him grief even. Imagine that, big Declan Rice at the Kent Cup. They didn't want to let him in the dugout. He came off his own accord. I didn't even know he was going to come.
You didn't? So hang on a minute. You didn't know Declan Rice was coming? That wasn't strategy for the YouTube video or anything like that? He just happened to be there?
He just turned up.
Wow.
Turned up, said, boys, I'm coming. I said, well, all right, let's see. He's pulled up and he's there.
We'll definitely get your ticket deck.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what? Do you know what the baddest thing is? I don't think I got him a ticket.
Did you not?
I genuinely don't think I got him a ticket.
So Declan Rice paid for a ticket to watch SC Don's play.
There's your clickbait. Look, there you go.
Title. Yeah, like, that's a true story.
I'm pretty confident he bought a ticket.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And Declan Rice, yeah, the reason why we love that guy so much, because he supports so highly.
Mm.
And we don't ever ask him to do anything, but he just supports. We'll put up a post, he'll engage on it, leave a comment.
So when he's engaged on that, I've seen the video of him being there or posting, that's just all because he's a fan of SC Don's.
All out of love and support for the club.
And it goes back
we've
to your
never
point
asked
about
him to do anything
how
that he's
real
doing.
You yeah, are, and that's probably why
he's
he likes
bought,
you.
He's bought into it, and I think we respect him. I'm never running him down, I need tickets. Yeah. I respect his space, you know? But I'm also very grateful for the support that he's given us. Mm. He was also a supporter of my music. Mm. And he loves SC Don's, like, and he really pushes us.
Mm.
And this is the future England captain, do you know what I mean? And he really gets behind SC Don's, and we're grateful for that because it means a lot. But then we've got people we've got loads of people. I don't want to be like, I'll miss people out. Junior Stanislash, he's from where we're from as well. He's been injured recently. Then you got your more well-known figures, the Chunkses, the Young Phillies. Mm.
Stormzy's been down.
Stormzy's been down. Both games he's come to, we've lost. So he might have to get a pass on not coming. loads of people. Honestly, everyone. Everyone's been involved with the Don somehow.
Yeah.
Bazinga, like I said, Sidemen.
Yeah.
Loads. They've really bought into it. And you know what? Everywhere we've travelled to as well, outside of the country, we've always been spotted on holiday. Always.
Have you?
By SC Don supporters.
Whatever country you go to?
Every single
country.
Give
us some of the maddest experiences
you've
had.
I'll give you
abroad.
A mad one.
Go on.
Yeah, I need to hurry up and move on from this girl, yeah, but my ex was Brazilian.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to Rio de Janeiro, so I'm in the mall, and it made me look like the man, yeah, because I'm walking through the mall, no word of a lie, on my mum's grave, Brazilian guys come up to me. He's like, oh, Don Strapsy. In Rio de Janeiro, yeah.
Brazilian guy.
Wow. Brazilian guy. And my girl's from Rio de Janeiro. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's where she was born, everything.
Yeah.
And this is early days.
Yeah.
So, like, you and I'm all playing it humble, like, yeah, I just got a football team and all this, yeah. He's come up to me and he's like, wow. He's like, oh, why are you here? I said, oh, I'm on holiday. He said, I love SC Don's, everything. Wow. Brazilian guy. In front of her, you know.
You're buzzing for that.
Hey, listen. Everywhere, Brazil, Mexico, Cancun.
Yeah.
Where else have we gone? Everywhere we've gone. Everywhere. Miami.
Wow.
New York. Remember New York? New York, yeah.
And that's the power of YouTube, isn't it? Because it's not
crazy.
Like, geo-restricted to
it's
one
crazy.
Place.
We've gone but I'm saying where we've been.
Mm.
Like, we sold a bit of merchandise over there to Guam.
Wow.
Guam, you know. I only ever heard of Guam from Matilda. You might not even remember.
Matilda.
Yeah, we moved to Guam. Or yeah. And we sold something to Guam. Papua New Guinea is crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a crazy one, being spotted in Brazil while I was with my girl at the time. That was a good look for me. But in terms of places that the Dons has taken us, yeah, we've played at some great stadiums.
Mm.
Leicester City Stadium, played against Leicester City legends. Who did they have in there? They had a few. I can't remember them all. I think it was Muzzy Izzet and them guys.
Mm.
We've been about.
Mm.
The Cup Final recently, London Cup Final, played at AFC Wimbledon. 3,500 people there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
Yeah. What are the biggest challenges? Because I remember, on a similar note, when I was doing some stuff online for Soccer M's YouTube channel, they decided to film my Sunday league team, and it got crazy views on it because we were doing sort of starting off on these sort of digital content, social content. I was playing Sunday League at the time down in Surrey, and then we're going to bring a camera down. And the views were mad. And I think you made a really good point about, I think, why people like it, because none of it is scripted. It is all real. You are seeing people getting substituted or putting out. We a lad, Jason, who was so injury prone. There's a clip of our coach going, this is Jason's first game back from injury. And then the next scene is someone crunching him and he had to come off. Poor lad. But and he was all right. So before anyone makes my point. But the clip of the manager saying he's so injury prone, then he pulls his hammy and comes off.
It's hilarious, isn't it?
You can't script that. You cannot script that. And I think that's what is saying, a cameraman missing a goal and all things like that. The waterlogged pitch. It's so old. But the challenge we found is that what we had to do, you have to alert the league, you have to alert the referee, because you have to have permission to film, because we're bringing Sky cameras down. So the challenge we found, that every time we turn up for a game, because people know they're being filmed, they're going on Sky, they'd have 30 people there, and suddenly it's everyone's cup final. And actually,
that's happens to us. Do you
find that people playing against SC Dons, it's their cup final? And
well, you know what,
it's tougher to win a game of football in that sense.
Yeah, exactly. So it's 100%. So we have to be up for every single game. We have to, because for everyone playing against SC Dons, it's a big day out. They're bringing all their mates. They got all their best players for that game. Everyone's got their hair cut. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Listen, that makes me... I've had to put a hat on today, Smithy, because my barber, Alk, he's let us down, me and G. We had to go barbers this morning. I've turned up and he's not in.
Wow.
So I got my... I'm trying to grow my hair, So I'm at the awkward stage.
Yeah, I know that stage.
So I've got to slap the hat on. But what was I saying? I got distracted by thinking about Alk.
About how opposition and like you raise their game and it's their cup final.
Yeah. So... Yeah, they always turn up. They always turn up for us. So we have to be on it. We have to be on it. And as you know, Sunday League, you're always going to get people that are injured, can't play.
Of course.
But everyone knows, if you're playing normal for a normal Sunday League team, what week we play in SC Dons, cool, we need everyone for that game. You know, in terms of filming, we've never had any problems, you know.
Really?
No one's ever, I think we just kind of, I don't think no one can tell us that we can't film anyway. Do you know what I mean?
So it's like I've seen people say things a lot on your videos though, like, oh, did you get that on camera?
Or of course.
Celebrate.
Yeah. And
being in front of your
face.
Because
right now we've, you know what? It's a funny one. We're at the moment we've taken a few big losses on the big stage. This year, it's not been a great year for us. We lost two cup finals.
How difficult is that then? You're putting out a loss of a cup. I suppose whatever happens in that cup final, you're committed to broadcasting that.
Of course, we put out everything.
And but you've lost the cup final, so is that
two
tough
cup finals?
Does part of you go, I don't want to put this out because we've lost, or do you go, we've got to do it because we've got a community now, they want to see it?
Yeah, and that's what it is. So we have to give them everything, even if we lose, at the risk of them maybe not wanting to support us anymore. Do you know what I mean? If we're seen as losers. But I think at the same time, it intrigues them to see how we bounce back from a loss. Are we going to stay at the bottom, or are we going to turn it around? And like I said, we've had a few big losses against rival teams as well, where when we lose, they get us on social media, they go at us. So that's things I've had to deal with. They'll draw us out, putting up silly memes, all that kind of stuff. And then you think to yourself, hold on, am I a dickhead? Watch when I see you type thing, you know what I mean? But then this is a part of the growth. We can't. We can't do that. If Man United lose, they get smoked. Yeah. It's the same as us. So right now, and on the other hand, we've violated everyone. In our community, we have beaten everyone.
So if you give it, you've got to be able to take it.
Worse than what they've done to us. So it's like they've all been waiting. I say it's like to George, it's like that Conor McGregor effect. Like they're waiting to beat you. So when they do, you're going to feel it. So yeah, we've had to hold it, but we will bounce back 100%. By the time this comes out, we'll have a new manager and a new whatever. We're moving forward.
Watch this space.
Yeah.
You mentioned the power of the community there. And I think like the fact that Big G's here with you now, like your family, friendship is so important. I wanted to talk about your mum. I know Paula tragically lost her life.
I was just
going
to say, don't let it fool you. I told him was going to eat. That's why he came with me.
Oh, is that right?
I didn't tell him was coming here. So
I know that your mum is a massive part of SC Dons. And what I saw from watching all your videos sort of again last night is that she still seems to be such a big part of the community. And obviously you did the video for her funeral and the amount of people from SC Dons and the people that were there, does that sort of illustrate in the toughest moment that I imagine you've been through, how powerful that community is? And I just wanted to know what that means to you personally, how big the community has been in your toughest times, so to speak.
You know what?
Unless you don't want to talk about it, of course. I don't want to bring something up that you don't want to talk about.
I think for me, that is the toughest thing I've ever been through, to lose my mum, because I was extremely close with my mum, very, very close with her. Just in terms of being able to look, the way my dad's a masculine man, and the way I've got four sisters. If my sister would fall on the floor, he'd pick her up, kiss her. If I fell on the floor, I'd get up. Do you know what I mean? So that's kind of how I was raised, which I'm thankful for anyway. He's maybe the man I am. But my point being, my mum was actually my space where I could, if I wanted to cry, if I was a bit upset, I could go to my mum and never cry. Do you know what I mean? So my mum was also a massive part of SC Dons.
Yeah.
She was the kit lady. So we call her that because we find a role for everyone. Basically, she used to wash the kit. Yeah. So she got labeled the name as the kit lady. And she honestly, Smithy, I can't. She loved SC Dons. Mm. She was at every single game. If you go back to our early episodes, the only people on the sideline was my mum. And I think she used to bring my nieces sometimes. She was just locked in. She loved it. And you have to understand, I transitioned my lifestyle from a very negative lifestyle. Mm. Yeah. As politely putting it. Yeah. Mm. And I was better than that. Mm. Jules used to tell me, like, wait, why are you doing this? Do you know what I mean? And my mum managed to see me transition from that lifestyle to SC Dons. And she used to message me like, oh, wow, you've got 7,000 subscribers now.
Wow.
Next day, oh, you've gained 50 subscribers
and
in 3 days.
She's so proud of you.
So proud.
Yeah.
I'd wake up to messages from her at 3 a.m. Oh, you've gained another 1,000 subscribers. And I'll tell you a funny story. I actually worked for Sky once.
Did you?
Yeah. So as an engineer, yeah.
I never knew that.
So, all right. So I before I worked for Sky, I was trying to make money illegitimately, put it that way.
Okay.
That's how I was making my money, yeah. I had to transition my lifestyle because I knew this wasn't for me. Mm. So to make my family and everyone get off my back, I applied for a job at Sky, yeah. Mm. And I ended up bloody getting a job. Yeah, I didn't want it, but I got it.
Yeah, good place to work, innit?
Great place.
Great place.
So they gave me my van.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to do the training at Sky to become a Sky engineer to put dishes up.
This. Wow.
So it was a 3-week training course.
Yeah.
Smithy, I got sacked after 2 weeks.
Did you?
Yeah. So done the first week, got into the second week. I was sitting there like, this is not for me, man. Right. Like trying to put up dishes and all of that. And I'm thinking, the credit to all of them, but that is not for me.
No, fair enough. Everyone has their own.
But I was trying. For me, it was like, listen, I'm doing my this is positive. I'm not doing nothing again, whatever. Anyway, I'm saying all that to say this about my mum. She knew I didn't want to do it because I got messages from my sisters and everyone. Oh, Dad, I'm so happy, so proud. Congratulations. And I said to my mum, why are they telling me congratulations? I don't want to do this. Why don't they congratulate me when the Dons has got 10,000 subscribers? Right. That, and I love my sisters. They're brilliant and they support everything I do. I'm just giving you my point of like, why are they telling me congratulations? I don't want to do it. I'm only doing this to make everyone stop complaining about me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it come to the second week, like 4 days in, I was waking up at 7 a.m. or something to get, and back then, I remember I'm young, so I'm going to bed late. Mm. Waking up at like 6, 7, no, earlier than that, I had to be there, I think at 8, which was all in Brentford sides, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, Oswald, so early start.
And I'm driving up there, and I just woke up one morning, I was exhausted. My mum woke up, she goes to me, no, you're not coming. That's what she said. She said, I believe in you. You're not going.
Wow.
Bro, honestly, I just went back to sleep, She said to me, like, because I knew my dad wouldn't be happy, innit?
Yeah.
But she said to him, nah, I believe in what you're doing. You're not going. This That's is not powerful. For you. She said, this is not for you, Andrew. You're not enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
Stick to what you're doing with SC Dons. I swear down, that's what she said to me.
Really?
Now, at the time, to be honest, though, I also had my sports company. Mm. I had like, my coaching going on. So there was other little means of getting some money for now in a positive way as well. Mm. But she said, nah, this ain't for you. Anyway, about 10 a.m., the manager's pulled up at my house all day from Brentford. Obviously, he's fuming. Mm. But he said, like, we're going to have to let you go or whatever. I had to tell him, do you know where you are? Because he's in my room talking to me, like in my front room downstairs, talking to me a certain way. I said, bro, take the van and go, man. Do you know what I mean? Mm. But so I actually worked for Sky. I detoured there.
Yeah.
So I did work for Sky for a couple of weeks. But anyway, I'm just trying to explain what my mum was to me.
Yeah.
She told me to continue this journey, you know, even though that job at the time was offering me stability, everything that was needed for me to take a step forward in my life, I didn't take it. I remember I had to go through the whole interview process. I worked hard to get that situation. She told me, no, I'd keep going. So she loved SC Dons. Mm. She loved everything about it. She loved my friends. She came to every single game, kit lady, whatever. Anything you needed, she'd do it. Coffee, cup of tea, she'd done it all. And then, she passed away. Suddenly, no one expected it. She wasn't unwell. She wasn't ill.
So sorry to hear that, mate.
No, it's fine. She went to. I remember it. I went out that night. Came home. She was moving, and she was a little bit stressed about the move. And everything was normal. I just came home one day, and then my dad woke me up in the morning. I went out the night before. It was someone's birthday, and so I had a late night. It's about 10 a.m. He's woken me up, and he's like, "Oh, Andrew, come see your mum. She's not waking up." So I'm all agitated. Like, what are you talking about, Dad? I'm tired. Do you know what I mean? Go and wake her up, man. Go push her or something. Because my mum was always up early, like 6 a.m. Even on a day off, she's up. And she's like, Andrew, I'm serious. She's not waking up. I was like, what? So I've jumped up, like, annoyed, gone in there. And I'm like, mum. And she doesn't answer. I said, mum, now something's kicking in my head. I'm like, hang on a second. I said, mum. And then I touched her smoothie, yeah, cold. I know it's a bit brutal, yeah, but I don't want to get into it. Long story short, she passed away, yeah. And that was it. There and then gone. And I was like, whoa. And I think what happened was because she was such a presence in SC Dons, so the supporters that was watching at the time was familiar with my mum because we're like a family club.
They've seen her on the videos.
My mum's there, my dad's there. Like, they're talking after the game. And she was just very a soft character, like a very soft person and a loving person. So yeah, we went from that to then me and my dad sitting in the back room announcing that she's passed away. She's passed away. If you don't laugh, you'll cry. So it's like I've announced it, and then like I think a lot of people bought into it after that as well because they knew my mum, and then now they're relating to seeing a young man who's lost his mum and also a husband that's lost his wife, which is even for me even worse because my mum was his life. So they're now seeing, they're watching how we cope. So maybe they're gaining inspiration from the fact we haven't folded. Do you know what I mean? And we haven't broke down. We've said, all right, cool. This hurts. We've accepted it. We're men of God. Me and my dad believe in God. My whole family do. So we've thanked God for my mum, for having my mum for the time I had her for. I'm so grateful because not everyone has a relationship with their mum that I had. So I'm thankful for that. And I believe she's now returned to him where I borrowed her. She was here on borrowed time. So we got that message across, and then the club has just continued moving, and we have something. We always said anything for the Dons, and the boys honour her by saying anything for Paula. But more so than that, the message is bigger because I'm not the only person who's lost a parent. G's lost both his parents. There's people in our change room that's lost parents. People outside of SC Dons that has lost wives. So when we're saying anything for Paula, I'm not saying for you to have to know my mum personally or just mention my, I'm talking about your mum or whoever you've lost. And I think that message has resonated with a lot of people that loss is a part of life, but look what we're doing, look what we're creating.
Yeah.
And I said it in the episode, I said, I've not heard my mum's voice in 5 years. It hurts, but I hear her name every day because I'm always getting anything for Paula. I've kept her name alive. That's the most I can do for my mum. And I've already said, when we get our stadium, there'll be a stand called the Paula McHugh stand.
I love that.
And that's it. And my dad's there every single week. He loves the club. And we're playing for higher meanings, man. And that's why we get so passionate about this club. Because for me, I've kept my mum's name alive. Which is why we didn't win any silverware this year. Every year since my mum passed away, we've won silverware. This is the first year we won no silverware. And I almost broke down, yeah, because it made me think about my mum so much, yeah. And I realised, that's what I said to the boys, it's not even about that. My mum couldn't care less if we won silverware or not. All this, we have to win silverware for my mum. We don't need to win silverware for my mum. All we need to do is put the badge on, put on the shirt. That keeps her name alive. So the silverware thing, I couldn't care less about it. That's just bragging rights. Of course, I would love to win silverware, but I think I said to the boys, just putting on the shirt keeps my mum's name alive. That's for me personally, but the message is bigger than just me personally because that's what it stands for. So if you've lost a parent or you've lost a wife, this is your club. Do you know what I mean? And that's it. She's become a massive part of it. We've kept her alive, and SC Dons are still here today.
Right, so Matt, firstly, sorry to hear everything you went through. I didn't know the detail of that, and I got so emotional just listening to that. So thank you for sharing that. But I think what I took from that is it's such a powerful and inspirational message. And I actually think your honesty will help so many people because sadly there are a lot of people going through loss and bereavement. So I think sharing your story is only going to help people. So thank you for sharing that. But the one thing I took from that is the power of the SC Dons community. And as you said, the toughest period in your life, how that whole community came together.
That's right.
Must have been one of almost the things that made you the most happy about SC Dons when they were there for you at your lowest.
100%. Like, I mean, a lot of the boys, me, George, RP7, Drops, all carried my mum's coffin. You know, all the boys came to the funeral. Honestly, like the boys. We're following its leadership. Mm. Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's just. Yeah, so just leadership. That's what it was, and we all came together as we would for everyone else. It just happened to be my mum. You know, I pulled the short straw. But like, other than that, like I said, we all came together, and the community is massive. Like I said, people are saying anything for Paul. That's never met my mum. We lost 3-1 in a cup final to this other team, Baytees, and they took the mick out of us online, everything. Like the people at the game, we has 80% SC Don supporters. We lost 3-1. Yeah, I'm fuming. People come up to me and say, "Listen, don't worry. I don't care about the result. So you lot changed my lives. Like you lot don't realize you saved my life." People are saying this to us, and I'm thinking to myself,
"And that's bigger than a football game. That's bigger than a football game.
Of course it is, because and that's what they're telling us. I'm not making this up. Saying we saved your life. I'm saving my life. Trust me." And I'm thinking, "Wow, people there saying anything for Paul. I'm thinking you've never met my mum, but the message is that authentic." And that's it. And like I said, I think we're just showing them, as you said, how we're dealing with loss. We're dealing with pain. It hurts. Do you know what I mean? Like you think my dad's turning up there and his whole life has changed. My mum was his life, but he's there. And like I said, we're in an era now as well. Like, everyone's promoting all this. "Oh, I can't do it. I can't do this." We're trying to flip it and say, "You can. Can do this,
spreading positivity.
Yeah, you can do this. Loss is a part of life. What are we going to do? Just be happy when things are going well. What about when things aren't going well? You know, and that's it. We keep moving.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly powerful, mate. Before we end it, I think it's a perfect note to end it, reflecting on where the Dons are now and talking about your mum in such positivity. I think it's amazing hearing that. Tell us what's next for SC Dons. What's next for you? Music as well? Anything you can reveal?
So yeah, SC Dons, there's loads going on.
Loads going on.
I think off the top of my head, it's hard. There's DFC5. We also have a boxing platform.
Yeah.
So we're into
our fifth. Yeah, of course, you got boxing, didn't you?
We're into our fifth boxing show.
Yeah.
We've had a few boys. Big G fought on DFC3.
Yeah.
We've got SK fights on DFC. Big Doug's had a fight.
Yeah.
So we got the boxing. The boxing is, just to quickly touch on that, me, Flips, Big G and the boys down at Gumshield. That's our project. It's all based on putting the knives down and putting the gloves on.
Brilliant.
And the way I see it is, the way me and G have seen it is, how can we preach a message if we don't show it?
Yeah.
So how can I be telling people, get in the ring, learn boxing, if I'm too afraid to get in the ring myself?
Yeah.
I'm not a boxer, but I'm learning it and I'm going to fight for that cause. So we say, put down the knives, pick up the gloves.
Yeah, great message.
You know what I mean? Learn the art and the discipline, learn respect, and you can do that through boxing.
Yeah.
We can help people with that as well. Yeah. So that's something else. But yeah, so DFC 5.
Love that. Music?
Music. I really want to work on a project. As I said, I feel like I've got one more dance in me. So I've been speaking to Mad B, who's also plays for the Dons.
Yeah.
He's sick at music as well. So me and him are going to start working on some bits.
Wow, there's a lot going on there.
There's a lot, yeah. And I think the music has suffered a bit, if I'm honest, but it's all for the wider cause.
Yeah. Do you know, I want to give you a lot of props here. Like, I think you've been so honest in this podcast, mate. And before we go into that, I never sort of really know what direction it's going to go in. And like the way that you're talking, I think, is just so inspiring. And you've been very honest talking about your life coming from a place of negativity to positivity, the charity work you're doing, putting the knives down, picking the gloves up, getting into a ring. It's like you're stepping out of your comfort zone with everything you do to spread positivity. I almost feel, listening to that, like you've come on a massive lifestyle journey as well. Yeah, you almost regret situations you were in, and you're using that to fuel you in your future projects. So I just think you deserve so much props, mate, for what you've started. The final question I always ask all our guests, really, is just what advice you'd have for people, because I think this advice is really poignant with you, because you've really flipped your life into a positive one.
Yeah, advice for people, I would think, just try and be a better person. I believe in God so much, Smithy, and I don't. My advice would all be based on pray more. But I think my advice would literally just be, try and be a better person, be the best version of yourself. Don't lie to yourself. So, be your best version. Treat people nice. Be kind. That's it, really.
Yeah.
I think life is about, can you love more, love others. We live in such a materialistic society where people say, go and drive this car, go and do it. Nah, man, just love.
Yeah.
Try and love more.
I love that. Yeah. And I've been in situations with you, mate, and I think like your journey is amazing. And like how you treat people is like, I mean, little example, after the Premier League All-Stars game, which SC Dons lost on penalties, narrow loss, you might have been fuming. You knocked on the door.
He's a good penalty, by the way.
You knocked on the door. Just a tiny thing that's always stuck with me. You knocked on the door and we were the winning team, and you just went, lads, I grew up watching, not me, but like Joe Cole and Wilshere. Yeah. I grew up watching you, your heroes. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to play. I just thought it's really classy that. I just thought it was really classy. And I just think you deserve all the success, mate. And you've given up your time here. You've come all the way across London for this, for me, for little old me. So just got a lot of love for you, mate. Thanks for
sitting down with me. Thank you, Smoothie. I did grow up watching you. Don't think I didn't. Yeah, I've seen you. Remember all the skits you used to do?
Oh, God.
Honestly, yeah. I swear down, you're a legend as well, bro. So thank you for having me. And remember, you've brought me up to Soccer Social and stuff before, where you put a little bit of Reddies in my pocket. So thank you for everything you're doing. You're doing the massive part and playing your part for helping people. So yeah, it's fantastic. But I hope to see you in SC Dons game next season.
Mate,
bro.
I'm there. We'll I love that. Through. And we'll get you back on Saturday Social.
100%.
Love it. 100%.
Mate,
top man.
Cheers. Great man.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn.
and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.